What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
Just as Donald Trump is preparing to enter office with threats of mass deportations, Joe Biden is smoothing the path for him by expanding contracts and with private detention centers and of immigrant jails. Our guest today is Jose Olivares, a bilingual investigative journalist and audio producer whose work focuses on immigration, criminal justice, Latin America, and human rights. Today, we're going to be in conversation about his latest two-part series published by The Guardian. Those headlines are: Revealed, Biden lays groundwork to expand immigration jails as Trump readies for office, and Biden extended contracts to private immigration jails despite reports of horrific conditions. Good morning, Jose.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being with us. Jose Olivares, in the beginning of the article Revealed, Biden lays the groundwork to expand immigration jails as Trump readies for office, you point out that the Biden administration has for the past year been in the process of extending contracts for private sector immigration jails across the country, while at the same time looking for options for expanding the capacity of these detention centers. What does that look like in practice?
That's right. So in our investigation, I took a look at contracting documents between Immigration and Customs Enforcement, which is the main agency in the U.S. That is tasked with detaining and deporting immigrants throughout the country, and their contracts with private prison companies. And so what I found by looking at these documents is that under the Biden administration, ICE has extended contracts with 14 different facilities throughout the country. Now, all of those facilities have been criticized by the Department of Homeland Security's Office of Inspector General, the Civil Rights Office, Democratic senators, and advocates. Regardless of all the problems that these facilities have been accused of, ICE has extended the contracts, whether it be for a few months or sometimes up to 5 years. Additionally, ICE is looking to expand its detention capacity by 4,850 people at least, to detain 4,850 more people within its network of detention facilities. Some of the expansions are going to be in New Jersey, in multiple cities in the West Coast, and in the Midwest. And as we're seeing this push by the Biden administration to expand ICE detention throughout the country, private prison companies are really looking to cash in on this expansion throughout the country. I listened to some of their investor calls after the election, and the CoreCivic CEO, he said, quote, "This is the greatest level of procurement activity we've seen with ICE in over a decade," which really speaks to the significant level of what Biden's Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency is doing to expand its detention network for this agency that is tasked with all these deportations.
It's funny, not funny, haha, but funny. I had another article in my script to talk to you, another quote from your article, which is from Brian Evans, the CEO of GEO Group, who we're going to talk about in just a second, that says, "This is to us an unprecedented opportunity to assist the federal government and the incoming Trump administration toward achieving a much more aggressive immigration policy with regard to interior enforcement and border enforcement and the removal of criminal aliens predominantly from this country." And that was during one of these calls, right, with investors after Trump's victory. So that's the mindset of these folks. You said looking to increase capacity to hold 4,800 more bodies. 4,800 more than what? How many folks approximately are right now rotting away in immigration detention centers?
So at the moment, and these numbers fluctuate, right? A lot of it also depends on how much money Congress allocates to ICE, et cetera. But right now, ICE has the capacity to detain around 41,000 people throughout the country. And at the moment, there are 39,000 people who are detained in these immigration jails throughout the country. 90% of them are owned and operated by these private prison companies. And so it would be at least 4,850 more people detained in addition to the already 39,000 people who are currently detained by ICE. But let's remember that, with the Trump administration coming in, what we saw during his first administration is that the number also was up to 55, almost 60,000 people detained in immigration jails throughout the country. And so this expansion of ICE's network that is being looked at by Immigration and Customs Enforcement at the moment, really is just going to be a huge gift to the incoming Trump administration, considering his promise to engage in mass deportations of immigrants throughout the country.
Jose Olivares, in September, the Department of Homeland Security's Office of the Inspector General released the findings of a report based on 17 unannounced spot inspections. What did the report say folks found during these surprise visits to these detention facilities?
That's right. So the Office of Inspector General for the Department of Homeland Security, they investigate and they'll do investigations looking at conditions in facilities throughout the country. And it's really interesting because usually a lot of their investigations point to the same problems happening again and again and again at multiple facilities throughout the country. And so this latest report from the Inspector General's office really showed that there were problems with hygiene in different facilities, problems with communication with immigrants, between staff and immigrants. But also what we've seen throughout the country with a lot of these facilities is that there's problems with the use of solitary confinement. There's allegations of really extreme racism going on, allegations of use of force against immigrants. And it's a really kind of significant problem that we've seen. And it's not just the Inspector General's office that's, calling attention to these problems, but Democratic senators as well are also pushing and saying, hey, hold on a minute. We need to look at these facilities, at what's going on inside these facilities that are privately run and the way they are treating immigrants. So earlier this year, a number of Democratic senators wrote a letter to the Department of Homeland Security and to ICE, urging them to close a number of immigration and customs enforcement facilities that are privately owned to end the contracts because of the really, really grave allegations of abuse that were taking place at these facilities. However, even though some Democratic senators wrote this letter, including Senator Cory Booker, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, etc., even though they wrote this letter, all of the facilities on that list that they presented to Homeland Security and to ICE, all of those facilities had their contracts extended by ICE this year after this letter was submitted.
Let's talk about some of these companies. Talk about the GEO Group. What facilities do they run, and what abuses do we know have occurred in their inside of their detention centers?
Right. So GEO Group and CoreCivic, they are the two biggest private prison companies throughout the country that run immigration and customs enforcement jails to detain immigrants. However, they're not the only ones, right? There's also LaSalle Corrections, there's Akima Global Services, there's MVM. And so there are these private companies, these private prison security companies that essentially own the facilities or are contracted to hire guards to detain immigrants at these facilities. And the allegations against a lot of these facilities really are you can kind of replicate a lot of the allegations and the problems at various facilities. So, for example, there was one facility in particular in California called the Adelanto Detention Center. It's in Southern California in the city of Adelanto. And connected to it is another facility called the Desert View Annex. And these two facilities are owned and operated by GEO Group. Now, earlier this year, the Desert View Annex faced grave allegations of treatment of immigrants. There was one report of a man who was struggling with mental illness and was reportedly drinking shampoo while he was placed in solitary confinement. And instead of receiving the necessary medical care that he required, he was just moved from solitary confinement room to another room to another room without actually addressing any of the underlying problems of his mental health issues. Regardless of all these problems, of all these issues that we've seen, the Desert View Annex facility had their contract extended for 5 years, and the Adelanto Detention Center had their contract extended for a number of months through the end of this year, which is really troubling considering just the patterns that we've seen of treatment of immigrant detainees at a lot of these facilities.
Jose Olivares, the tagline of this show is Expose, Agitate, and Build. I want to ask my final question of you on the build tip. How are immigrant rights organizations responding? What are the demands being made Biden, and what does the organizing look like right now? I mean, the clock is ticking.
The clock is ticking. And I think, you know, there are some immigrant rights activists who I spoke with who maybe came to immigrant advocacy, you know, in the past few years, and who maybe had some hope that the Biden administration would change things, you know, and maybe at first when Biden was elected, he ran on a campaign of an approach, you know, a humane approach to immigration detention. And so people were kind of optimistic, but cautiously optimistic about the Biden administration. But what we've seen in these 4 years is a further shift to the right in terms of his immigration policies. However, I think a lot of people who are in the immigrant activist space, they kind of see this as unsurprising. You know, a lot of these practices, they don't just come from the first Trump administration. You know, they do come from Bush era policies, from Obama era policies, then to Trump, now Biden, and now we're going to be seeing more of these problems under the Trump administration. So I think a lot of immigrant activists and advocates are seeing this and going, yeah, this is kind of what we expected. It's the same system that is being handed down from administration to administration to administration, regardless of the political party that is in power. And so immigrant rights activists are really pushing and saying, we have just over a month left. Let's, you know, close a lot of these facilities. Let's, you know, maybe put up some roadblocks so that the Trump administration isn't able to deport as many immigrants as he's promised. But we don't see any sort of movement whatsoever from the Biden administration to take any necessary steps to protect immigrant communities throughout the country before the Trump administration takes power.
All right, Jose Olivares, I've got to leave it there. Thank you so much for the articles. We will be tracking this and hope you'll come back to the show as we update on the transition and the attacks on our immigrant community.
Thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.